So there are really two classes of dentists. Those that are making $150,000 to $250,000 a year, and those that are making $500,000 to $1 million plus per year. Both classes are usually working just as hard, working the same number of hours. But the thing is, one of these groups has somehow found a way to make a lot more money for the amount of time that they're working. If you are in the lower income class, your income is going to be capped. Yet if you are in the higher class, then you could potentially make as much money as you want working as a dentist. So what is it that separates the low income class from the high income class? My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I have been in both the low and high classes, and I now help dentists transition from that lower income earning bracket up to the higher income earning bracket. So today we're talking about the wealth gap that exists in dentistry. And this is a gap that's widening every single year. It just keeps getting wider and wider, where the lower class is making less and less and the higher class is making more and more. So how can you make sure that you are in this higher class? First off, something that I talk a lot about is that dentists who are in this higher class, they're going to be the owners of their business. Basically, no one in the high class is going to be working as an associate. You just cannot make $500,000 to $1 million a year sustainably if you are working as an associate. You need to become an owner. The owner of the business. But that doesn't explain everything, because there are a lot of dentists who own their own practice, yet are still only making $150,000 to $200,000 a year before taxes and student loan payments. The average owner is only making something like $100,000, maybe $150,000 more than the average associate. And if the average associate is making $250,000 a year, yeah, you make $100,000 more, you're making $300,000. Which is still pretty good, but you have to pay taxes, you have to pay student loans. But that's still not getting you to this upper income bracket of the $500,000 to $1 million. You're just not going to get there at that level. So I've told you that all of the dentists that are making $500,000 plus, they are in this ownership group. But if the average owner is only making $100,000 to $150,000 more than the average associate, that means for everyone who's in this high income group that owns their own practice, there are just as many owners who are in the lower income bracket. Just because you are the owner of a dental practice does not mean that you are going to be financially successful. And it certainly doesn't mean you're going to be wealthy, because a lot of times dentists, especially when they're owners, they feel like they have to show outward signs of how successful they are. They have to buy the big house. They have to buy the brand new car. They have to go on the expensive vacations. They have to buy the fancy clothes, get a member at the country club, go fancy golf courses, etc. Yet, if they're in that group that they're only making $250,000 a year before taxes, before student loans, they might only have $70,000 in discretionary income to spend, and you just don't have money to buy all these expensive things if you only have $70,000 at play. So I talk about ownership a lot because ownership is great. It's the prerequisite to being successful as a dentist. You have to become a dental practice owner if you want to be successful long-term. That's just a fact. Prove me wrong. I have not seen a dentist work as an associate long-term and ultimately be that successful. Yeah, maybe if they are really, really frugal and really live within their means, they could still build up some wealth working as an associate. And in a few minutes, I want to talk about how I actually saved up my first $100,000 working as an associate in just 1 year. So it's definitely possible to save up some money as a dentist. But you're still going to be in that lower income bracket group. You're not going to be in that higher income group. So as an owner, as long as you own 100% of the business, you get to keep 100% of the profits. And not only are you going to be making more, but you're going to be building equity in a business, equity that you get to keep. You're also going to have so much more control over your schedule. You get to set your schedule. You get to do what you want to do when you want to do it. You are in control when you are the owner of your own business. But just because you're an owner, it does not mean that you are going to be financially successful. There are a lot of owners that try to start their own businesses and miserably fail and go out of business. It happens. Now, it doesn't happen as much as, for instance, starting a restaurant or some other much riskier sector. But there are dentists who try to start their own practices and don't succeed. So if being the owner of the business is so much better than working as an associate, why not just go start your own business? Your income as a dentist is determined by three factors. Number one, how many patients do you have? Number two, how much can you produce per patient? And number three, what are your expenses? It doesn't matter how good of a producer you are. Maybe you know how to place implants. Maybe you know how to do molar endo. Maybe you're amazing at ortho and you can do all these crazy procedures and you're able to produce $2,000 per patient. You're a big hot shot, right? But if you don't have enough patients at your practice, you're not going to be making very much money. If you only have 5 patients for the entire year and you can produce $10,000 per patient, which is ridiculous. Most dentists are able to produce about $1,000 per patient. But just for this analogy, let's say you produce $10,000 per patient. But if you only have 5 patients, that's not even going to be enough money to pay a hygienist to be at your practice. Now, obviously, if you only had 5 patients, you probably wouldn't need a hygienist. But I mean, you got to pay for a building. You got to pay for electricity. There's all sorts of expenses. So you have to be making enough money just to cover your expenses. And the trap that a lot of dentists get into, they say, hey, I'm good at dentistry. I can produce. I can do all this. But they don't have enough patients to produce enough to cover the expenses for the building and then still have a decent profit left over for themselves. And so they get into this cycle of, well, I don't have enough money coming in. Therefore, I'm going to have to reduce my expenses. And you can get into a situation where you end up having a really, really small practice. It's just you and an assistant and maybe one front desk person, and you're just not going anywhere. You're not making very much money. And this is the death trap for dentists, is that they go into a practice thinking that they're going to be making more than they were making when they were an associate. And they end up at this tiny practice where they're sitting around all day waiting for patients to come in, not getting anything done, and not making very much money. This is what can happen if you are not careful. I saw this clearly when I first graduated from school. I originally thought I was going to do a startup. I thought I was going to get out of school and I was going to start a dental practice because I went into dentistry knowing that I wanted to be an owner. That's one of the big reasons I chose dentistry, is because I wanted to be a business owner and I didn't know what other type of business to start. And so I said, hey, if I become a dentist, then I have a way of making income and I can start a business. So I got out of school thinking I'm going to start a business, but I had some friends. One of them started a business. They started their own practice. The other one bought a practice from an existing dentist. A few years into that, the one who did a startup was very much struggling. They just weren't making very much money. They didn't have that many patients. I think they ultimately went out of business later on. The other friend that I had, he was doing amazing. Like he didn't tell me exactly how much he made, but like he was doing really well just his first year out of school. A few years out, it was clear that he was very busy at his office. He had a bunch of staff working for him. He had this big successful business and he was doing super well, all because he made one decision to buy a practice rather than do a startup. So the real path to wealth in dentistry is to find a dentist who's retiring, offer to buy his practice, and then take over the practice and take over that patient base. But the thing is, you need to make sure that the dentist you are buying the practice from had enough patients at that practice to where when you take it over, you are able to produce enough dentistry to cover your expenses and still make a decent income. If you buy the right practice, you're going to have enough patients that you're able to produce enough to cover all of your expenses and then make $500 to $1 million plus. It's very possible. I see it happen all the time. You just have to buy the right practice. So you might be saying, I'm in this lower class. I don't have that much money. How am I going to get enough money to buy a dental practice so that I can get into the upper class? The good thing is there are banks that will loan you the money to buy a dental practice. And as long as you take into account those monthly payments, you can calculate how much money you're going to be making after your expenses and after your loan to make sure that you are going to be making more than you were making at your But the problem is, in order to be eligible to receive a loan to buy a dental practice, the banks are going to require you to have some money saved up. Buying a practice, oftentimes you don't actually have to put money down, but you are going to have some liquidity saved up. The bank wants to see that you have an emergency fund saved up so that if something goes wrong, you have a financial cushion. Also, it's kind of a test to make sure that you're smart with how you spend your money. The kind of person who's smart with their personal finances is likely also going to be smart with their business money. And so that's how the banks look at things. They want to see that you have at least 5 to 10% of the purchase price for the practice saved up. Practices are on average $500,000 to maybe $1.2, $1.3, $1.4 million per year. So you need to have $50,000 to $100,000 saved up before you buy a dental practice. Now, you also might be interested in buying the real estate. If you have the option to buy the real estate for the practice, it's probably a good idea. Obviously, it's just going to come down to running numbers when you're at that point. But if you want to buy the real estate, well, then now you're also going to have to put some money down. For real estate, you do have to put money down. usually 10 to 15, maybe 20% of the purchase price of that real estate. So all in all, you're trying to save up at least $100,000 before you're buying a dental practice. And then keep in mind, if this is your first time buying a practice, it's not something you're going to want to do alone. You're going to need to hire advisors to help you understand what you're buying and help make this process go smoother. You're going to have some money saved up in order to pay your advisory team during this transition process as well. So the truth is, you need to have some money saved up before you get into trying to buy a business, especially if you're going to start your own business. You really need to have some money saved up. So I was talking on the phone the other day to a dentist who has been out of school for 2 to 3 years. And he said, Chris, it makes no sense. No one is able to save up that kind of money when they're first out of school. It's just impossible. No one is able to save up $50,000 to $100,000. That makes no sense. And I told him, actually, you're in the minority, because I talk to dentists all the time who are a few years out of school and have saved up this kind of money. I personally saved about $100,000 my first year out of school. As a dentist, you're able to make, even as an associate, quite a bit of money compared to other people. As long as you are willing to live within your means, you can easily save up $50,000 to $100,000 as a dentist. It just requires you to be a little bit careful about how you spend your money, but it's honestly not that hard to do. So finally, I want to talk about 5 steps to follow if you want to save up some money to buy a dental practice. Number one, you need to have a mindset shift. You went into dentistry because you wanted to be financially successful. You wanted to have the nice things. You wanted to have the nice house, the nice car. You wanted to be able to afford to go on the nice vacations. Look, I understand. I like nice things too. Everyone does. But if you keep in mind, right now you are in the low class. You want to get to the high class. Once you are in the high class, then you can start spending a little bit more money on some of those types of things. Once you can afford to buy those things without going into debt, then you can actually afford to have them. But if you are only making $200,000 a year right now, as a dentist, you still have taxes and student loans to take care of. You just don't have enough money to buy a new house and buy all this fancy stuff just yet. You are in a period of your life. You just need to have this mindset shift where you are in a period of life where you are not yet wealthy, because you're not. If you don't have $1 million in your bank account, you are not wealthy. Don't be like all the other Americans who are just going into debt in order to look like they're wealthy. True wealth is having the money in your bank account. True wealth is not having a fancy jacket or a nice car or going on some nice vacation. You can still have some nice things. But the thing is, once you get out of this low class into the high class, then you can actually afford those nice things while still taking care of your future self and saving up. Instead of buying a new house, live in a cheap apartment. Instead of buying a new car, just keep driving the same car you have. If it breaks down, just go get it fixed. And if it completely breaks, just go buy another used car. You don't need to have a brand new nice car right now. I drove a 2005 Honda Civic for years after becoming a dentist, and it was just fine. It got me where I needed to go. I drove that thing until it literally broke down. And then I upgraded to a 2016 Honda Civic, which I'm still driving right now. And it's fine. It's not like the nicest, fanciest car. At some point in my life, once I've saved up a few million in the bank, then I might consider buying a nice, new, expensive car. But at this point in time, I would rather be saving for my future than buying some silly cars. If you can keep your expenses as low as possible now, you are going to have so much more freedom in the future. Maybe you decide that you love clinical dentistry and you want to keep doing this until the day you die. Well, great. Then you're going to have so much money to do whatever you want with. But you might be in a situation where you decide you don't want to do this forever. And if you have a few million dollars in the bank, it's going to make it so much easier to make those types of decisions. Do not get into the situation where you don't have money saved up and you now have to work in order to pay your bills. That is not a situation you want to be in. So step two is figure out how much money you actually need each month in order to meet your expenses. If you are not tracking your finances, you need to start tracking your finances. I use an app. I used to use mint.com, and then it got like bought by Credit Karma and something happened to it. So I switched over to Monarch Money, which is great. I've heard there's one called Copilot, which is also pretty good. I mean, you could even just use an Excel document or a Google Sheets document if you want. That's going to be a lot more work. But just make sure you're tracking how much you're spending and how much you actually need each month in order to meet your expenses. Now, step three is student loans. If you're a dentist and you're recently out of school, you almost certainly have student loans unless you're just independently wealthy or got some sort of super lucky and got some sort of scholarship or whatever. You have to pay back those student loans eventually. Yeah, you could get on an income-based repayment plan and possibly get some sort of forgiveness in the future. There's just no telling what's going to happen with that, with the government. There's so many rules. Things are changing right now. Who knows? But while you are in this low class and you're trying to get into the high class, keep in mind, once you are up here in the high class, paying back your student loans is not going to be a problem. It's going to be such a small portion of your income that you're not even going to think about it. But when you're down here in the low class, paying back your student loans is going to have a huge impact on the amount of money you can save. So your goal right now, until you become the owner of a practice where you're making $500,000 plus per year, your goal is to defer or reduce those student loan payments in any way possible. Now, if you have a payment, you have to make that payment. You do not want to get in trouble with the government. Like, do not do that. But there are legal ways to where you do not have to pay your student loans back right now. First off, there's deferment, and there's multiple dips of different types of deferment that you can take advantage of. There's also income-based repayment plans that you can get on. And potentially, when you join these income-based repayment plans, sometimes you can use last year's income in order to set that payment amount. So especially if you're in your first year or two out of school, you might be able to have $0 payments on an income-based repayment plan. Obviously, you can't sustain that long-term. That's not going to work forever. But while you were in this low class and you're trying to save up the money to transition to the high class, you want to reduce those student loan payments as much as possible. If you get some extra money, do not put it into your student loans. Put it into a savings account. Remember, you were trying to save up that $100,000 so that you can then easily transition over into the high class. Number four is taxes. You have to keep in mind taxes. So let's say you've done the calculation. You need $80,000 in order to meet your expenses. Okay? You've gotten to where you don't have to pay back any student loans. Great. So you need $80,000. You then need to take into account you are going to have to pay taxes on the money that you make. So it's going to be something like 35%, probably, depending on where you live, if you're in the medium to high income tax bracket. So let's say you're making something like $200,000 a year, something like 50 grand is going to go towards taxes. So if you make $200,000 a year, you spend $80,000, $50,000 is going to your taxes. You then will have $70,000 saved up by the end of the year. That's not terrible. That's not terrible. But if you can, try to get to where you're making $250,000 a year. Yeah, your taxes might go up. Now you're paying maybe $60,000, $70,000 in taxes. Let's say you're paying $70,000 in taxes, 80 plus 70. Now you're at $150,000. So your expenses are $150,000. Your income is $250,000. You've now saved up that $200,000 that you need. So now you know what you need to do. If you need $80,000 in order to survive, you're going to have to find a job where you can make $250,000 a year. And then don't spend money on a bunch of other crap right now. It's that simple. It's really that simple. You just need to make significantly more money than you're spending and keeping in account student loans and taxes. Now, you might be in a situation where you're more than a year or two out of school and now you have to pay back something on your student loans. So now maybe you have to make $300,000 a year. Yeah, as an associate, that's going to be hard, but you're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to figure it out because if you ever want to have any chance of getting from this low income class to this high income class, you're going to have to save up a little bit of money first. You just need to bite the bullet and go through and do it. So step five is choose the right job. If you require $80,000 to live, you cannot take a job where you make $150,000 a year. You can't because after student loans and taxes, you're not going to have any money left over to save in order to transition from the low class to the high class. If you need $80,000 to live, you're going to have to find a job where you're making $250,000 a year. It's not negotiable. You're just going to have to do it. Now, personally, for me, my first year out of school, I only made about $200,000. I wasn't making $250,000. I was making more like $200,000. I think it was a little bit less than $200,000, actually. But I had my expenses down to about $45,000 that first year. Now, luckily, I was in a situation where my wife was also working. So she was helping to split the apartment rent and some of the shared costs. And so if you're single, these numbers might look a little bit different. But if you're single, you can also live in a really, really small apartment for a little while. Like, it's fine. Ownership is the way that you are going to transition from the low class to the high class. But being an owner just so you can say you're an owner is not enough. You have to be the owner of a profitable dental practice. If you want to be an owner of a profitable practice in any reasonable amount of time, the most predictable way to do so is to buy a practice that is already big enough and has enough active patients so that you can step in from day one and have enough dentistry to produce enough in order to meet the expenses, and then what's left over is going to be your net income. You don't need rich parents or any kind of crazy luck to do this. Like, the formula is super simple. Calculate how much money you need to make. Make $100,000 more than that this year. Save that money up. Don't spend it. Don't put it towards your student loans. Save that money so that you can then go to a bank, get a loan to buy a profitable dental practice. Then once you take over that profitable dental practice and you're making $500,000-$700,000 a year, it's going to be easy to pay off those student loans, and you're going to be able to buy a house, you're going to be able to buy a new car, you're going to be able to save up for retirement, and you're going to be able to have everything that you've been expecting that you were going to be able to have when you were a dentist, because you were smart in your first few years out of school and you didn't rush the gun, you didn't try to buy more things than you could afford starting out. You had the diligence to say, I'm going to put that off for a few years. I'm going to work hard and I'm going to save up the money so that I can then live a wealthy, successful life into the future. If you are willing to make this sacrifice for just 1 year, you can put yourself in a position where you are going to have wealth and autonomy in your career and in your life for years to come.